Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Late summer, 1986. We were driving through the Rocky Mountains on our way to Ouray. There were three of us, Steve, Danny, and myself. We were young, dumb, and fed up with what life was really like after college. So we bought some matches, packed a cooler of beer, food, and beer, and loaded up a trustworthy Toyota with all the fixings for a classic camping trip. This trip was supposed to shake up the devastating monotony of our daily life. And shake it up, it did. To the very core. Right before we were ready to get set out, Steve's mom ran out of the house and told him he should take their newly adopted family dog, Luna, for safety. Steve was hesitant. He didn't want to have to look after the dog, especially if we were going to be drinking. And she was a big dog, a mixed husky and something else, a Great Dane, maybe. But his mom insisted until, finally, he broke and agreed to take her. Luna looked up at him with her warm blue eyes and seemed to smile. Steve sighed and said, "I guess I'll sit in the back with her." "No, no," I said, walking over and patting her head. "Let her sit up front with me." She wagged her tail. Most of the car ride went smoothly, and we sang along to the radio, mooed at cows, and waved at, or flipped off, motorcyclists. But as we neared our destination, and the sun sank behind us, leaving us in a thick, almost tangible darkness, we started to become jumpy, pointing at strange shadows and swift movements. Luna, though, was curled up and asleep beside me, unaware of our growing fear. The sky was covered in big rolling clouds that blew swiftly towards the east, covering and revealing the full moon at random intervals. By now, we were the only vehicle on the road, my headlights barely slicing the darkness around us as we weaved our way through the mountains. The isolation, the darkness, the silence. It was all so crushing.
"Steve, I thought you said we would be there before the sun set. I told you we shouldn't have stopped at that bar."
"Oh, Danny, I didn't know we'd get there for that long."
"You wouldn't stop your stupid pool game."
"And I won. Come on, it's not that dark out. Would some money make you happy?"
"You... cool it."
"Look... what the hell is that?"
I slowed the car down to a stop, trying to see what was blocking the road, but the light from the cloud-covered moon was too dim.
"What the hell?"
"Danny," I whispered, as she rolled down her window. I was apprehensive, worried this was someone's attempt to rob us, or worse. I had heard all the urban legends before.
"I just want to see better."
She stuck her head out the window, and I rolled a little bit closer. Luna, feeling the change in the car's movements, lifted her head and sat up, panting.
I think it's a dead deer, guys. Gross."
Danny retreated back inside the car and rolled the window back up.
"Who the hell just leaves something like that on the road?"
"Dicks,"
Steve said, then leaned forward.
"Hey, man, think you can drive around it?"
Yeah, I think I can." I approached the thing, now seeing the antlers and the gleaming black eyes, open, staring, dead. It blinked. I yelped and jerked the steering wheel, sideswiping the mountainside.
"What the hell, man?"
"It's alive."
"What?
That deer, it's alive."
As I spoke, the deer lifted its head and belted. The sound echoed around the chasm. We all jumped and watched as it pushed itself up, up, until it was standing on its hind legs, like a man, but uncanny, grotesque. Mesmerized, we sat, unable to move as the thing walked over to us, slowly, decidedly, as if walking on two legs was a thing this deer did often. It leaned down next to Danny's window, its face so close to the glass that steam from its nose fogged it up. A low noise rang out through the car. Luna was growling, her hackles raised, crouched in the seat next to me. The thing rammed its head into the window. Chaos erupted. Danny screamed, piercing, high. Luna started barking, booming persistently. Steve yelled, telling me to floor it. I was shaking, struggling with the clutch, stalling. The window cracked, and the thing started making an incredible sound. It sounded like a strange, screeching, guttural form of laughter. Finally, the clutch caught, and I sped the hell out of there. I checked the rear view, and saw the thing, standing on two legs, looking after us. Suddenly, it leapt forward, and began running after us. It ran on two legs instead of four, and it ran fast, incredibly fast. I drove as fast as I could on that winding mountain road, but despite my speed, the thing still caught up with us. It tapped its antlers on my window and screeched that strange laughter again. Then it pointed in front of us, baring its teeth, and stopped. The abruptness of how quickly it disappeared caught me off guard. "Watch out!" I snapped forward, and what I saw made me slam on my brakes. A house. A house in the middle of the road. I guess it was more of a cottage or a hut, but there it was. Clear, vivid, in front of us. Danny was audibly crying in the back seat. Steve was breathing heavily, like he had just run a marathon. Luna was whimpering beside me and scratching at the window. Nausea enveloped me, made worse by the vibration from my pounding heart.
"Seriously, what the hell is going on?"
"I think I'm gonna puke, man."
"Don't open that door. Just back up and turn around. Let's go back. Towards that? No way."
"Well, if you didn't seem to notice, there's a house in front of me."
"Just drive through it. Come on."
"No, no, no, no."
"Danny, calm down. It's okay. We're okay. We'll be fine."
Danny simmered and started sobbing again.
"Guys, look. Oh, God."
The house. It was spinning, slowly, and stopped when the front of it pointed directly at my car. The door to the house slammed open, emitting a sound like a gunshot. A single point of light emerged from the darkness inside the house. A candle. And holding it up was a figure, stooping over, covered in what looked like blackened rags. It began to approach us, lurching forward, swiftly, then slow, then swift again. It was making an eerie, deep, staccato sound.
"Are you for real right now?"
Steve was leaning forward, peering out the windshield.
"Let's go. Reverse. That thing is behind us. Run it over.
Look, look."
Danny screamed. The stooping figure was now running at full speed straight at us. It slammed onto my hood, and we could finally see that it was an old woman, covered in wrinkles, completely bald, with sharpened yellow teeth. She crawled up the hood, opened her mouth, and licked the glass, leaving a trail of blood-colored saliva. Luna went wild, barking and foaming at the mouth, throwing herself at the door.
Back up now!"
I slammed my foot on the gas, but my tires made a sickening sound, and the smell of burnt rubber slipped into the car.
"It's behind us!"
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I turned back to see the deer's head, teeth still bared, peering at me from the back window.
What do we do now? Luna, no!
With a final lunge, Luna forced the door open. A powerful wind picked up, and the rolling clouds dissipated, allowing the light from the full moon to illuminate the scene in front and behind us. Luna was as still as a statue, slightly crouched, poised to leap. The hackles on her back quivered, and a single thread of drool spun itself down from her mouth. She began to shake, faster and faster. It looked like she was having a seizure. The old woman and the deer horror were both looking over at her. Something strange was happening to Luna. It looked as if her limbs were breaking, elongating. Her snout narrowed, sinking closer to her face. She rose up onto her hind legs, humanoid, and howling up towards the sky before locking eyes with the hag on my car. In the blink of an eye, Luna was on the woman, ripping her away, shaking her to and fro in her jaw like a rag doll. Luna flung the woman towards the house, and she stuck it with some force and didn't get back up. The house and the woman vanished in a puff of smoke. Luna turned towards the thing behind us. It screeched, raising itself up to its full height, challenging her. Luna howled again, then licked her fangs. The thing took two steps towards her, before turning tail and fleeing down the road, Luna giving chase. They both ran on two legs instead of four. We sat in total silence for a few moments, until I leaned over and slammed the passenger side door close.
I think Danny passed out.
I turned to look at Steve, and he looked back at me. Let's get out of here, man. We got 2 miles before the thumping beneath us couldn't be ignored any longer. A flat tire. I pulled over and we eyed the darkness around us, paranoid.
I'm not changing it. I'm not going out there.
Steve said loudly. Don't worry, there's no spare.
What?
I took it out to make room for all the camping stuff.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Well, what the hell do we do now?
I sighed. I didn't know. Suddenly, like magic, like a miracle, headlights appeared behind us. A godsend. A car.
I hope they're normal.
Me too.
Should we tell them?
We locked eyes again. No. If they bring it up, maybe. If it's a cop, definitely not. He'll think we're high. The car rolled up beside us. It was totally black with tinted windows. The window rolled down and behind it sat a middle-aged man. He looked tired, possibly sad.
Need some help?
Oh, thank God.
Steve whispered. Yeah, flat tire. I don't have a spare.
Well, that's stupid, the man said. You should always carry a spare. Always. I never know what could happen. Luckily for you, I think I have one that will fit your car.
You're joking. The man shook his head and hopped out of his car. He was dressed sharply. Black suit, black tie, black shoes. All covered by a trench coat.
Come on. You can hold the flashlight for me.
I hesitated, then exited the car.
What happened here?
He pointed to the window next to Danny's head. It's been like that for a while. A dumb neighbor kid hit it with a baseball.
Uh-huh, the man nodded. And her?
Tired. Just tired. We've been driving for a while.
Driving where?
Ouray. For camping.
Nice place.
We've heard.
Say,
the man said, releasing the jack. Job done. Seen anything strange tonight?
My heart sped up, and I looked around us, half expecting the deer or the woman or Luna to come sprinting towards us. What do you mean, strange?
Oh, I don't know. Anything out of the ordinary.
No. Why?
Oh, no reason. Just heard some spooky tales.
Tales?
That the natives who used to live around here would tell.
What tales? The man stood up and dusted his hands off on his coat.
Well,
he said, ignoring my question.
You're all set. You're about 20 minutes out from Ouray, and 2 hours from the sunrise. I'd advise you get a move on. Never know what might be stalking you out there. I'm headed the same way, actually. I can drive behind you if you'd like.
A muffled yes came from inside the car, and we both looked up to see Steve nodding voraciously. Yeah, that would be great, actually. The corners of the man's mouth twitched a bit as he nodded, sliding back into his car. We drove to Ouray without incidents, and as soon as we hit the city, the man in the car behind us flashed his brights twice, then flipped a U-turn, speeding back down the way we came. I thought he said he was going this way, I said, looking in my rearview mirror. Who cares? Let's get a hotel room and leave first thing in the morning, Danny said. She had woken up as we were driving towards Ouray. We filled her in on the strange man and how he helped us, but she was still spooked and jumpy. And we did just that. We didn't dare camp in the wilderness or even leave the relative safety of our town. On the way back to civilization, we swore to never tell anyone what happened. It was too strange, uncanny, horrifying. Steve was silent, afraid of what his mom might say or do about Luna. We made up some story about how she had fallen over a cliff after chasing a deer. Poor Luna. We did stop for an hour around the area it happened and called out to her, but to no avail. It's been years since that happened, and I'm old now. The three of us lost touch after we returned from the trip, but vowed to keep this secret to our death. Last I heard, Steve died from a heart attack, and Danny was diagnosed with stomach cancer. I figured it's about time I shared my tale. Maybe it'll help me make some semblance of sense out of it. In the end, though, I don't know if those things were protecting us from her, or if she was protecting us from them. I guess I'll never know. Sometimes, late at night, when I hear howling, I like to imagine it's Luna, out there, somewhere, running free in the wild.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.